This is Toss Talk, where it's all about yard games, having fun, and what it takes to create social entertainment. With your host and creator, Kelvin, on Toss Tunes Radio.
What is up, and welcome back to another episode of Toss Talk. And today we are playing the backyard golf game. Yes, I know there's been plenty of golf yard games out there, but this one is on another level. Yes, the attention to detail has been taken care of, and you can actually get a nice full swing while you're just practicing your golf in your backyard. I have the owner on the line, Kirk Lawson, out of California. This game has actually come to market very fast. It's another one of those pandemic games. But just because it came there quickly doesn't mean it skimped on the quality. So I'm excited to get into this chat and see what it's all about. Links are in the show notes. Check it out. Get yourself a set. Promo codes are in there, and hey, let's get into this chat.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Kirk?
How are you, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, just kind of hanging out here in Southern California on a nice Thursday afternoon.
Nice. I love that. Oh, man. Yeah, I was just about to ask, where are you from?
Yeah, I live in Long Beach, California.
Nice. I actually haven't been out there.
No, you got to come out. It's a beautiful time of the year.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm over here in Virginia Beach, and we're still in summer mode, so we have some good weather going on right now.
There you go. You got a few more months of that, hopefully.
Yeah, it actually goes to summer till like almost November. It's crazy sometimes.
It's all good. All good.
Oh, man. So I'm excited we finally get to do this. I know you've been pretty busy.
Yeah, you know, I guess it's the heat of golf season, so I've been kind of making the most of it, you know, as it's kind of a seasonal sport, you know, up north in the Midwest and things like that. In California, it's year-round, but, you know, you got to kind of strike where the iron's hot, right?
Yes, of course. I love that. Yeah, let's just get right into it. So who's all in the business with you, and how'd you come up with this awesome product?
Well, thanks for that. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's actually kind of last year during COVID when everything kind of shut down. We started golfing every Friday, just first out. We get the first tee time of the day, and it was just me and a couple guys on the street and things like that, just to go do something and then, you know, come back to work. And then a buddy brought over some plastic golf balls, and we started, you know, putting up my kids' like pools and buckets and their water tables, and we'd kind of assign point values to hitting into them. And, you know, I think a lot of people have done this in their time frame. And, you know, my buddy, who's now my business partner, said, hey, there's got to be a better way to do this. And, you know, my background of sourcing product and things of that nature, I kind of jumped in and said, yeah, there has to be. Let's try to figure it out. And we kind of came up with several different ideas and then ended up where we are today. And so, you know, it just kind of unifies the game that a lot of people have played throughout the, you know, their years. I've heard from people in like Texas, oh, we've played this when we were younger. You know, I'm sure a lot of other people have, but it's a way to kind of unify in one way and kind of have everybody play the same kind of game. And, but it's also unique to everybody's backyard and things of that nature. So it's been pretty fun during that whole process to get from where we were to where we are now with this.
And yeah. Oh, keep going.
No. Yeah. So it's just me, myself. I kind of own the majority of the business and run the majority of the things behind the business. I have a business partner and another investor, and we had some other small investing rounds for friends and family. And that's pretty much everybody that's in the business.
Nice. Very cool. Keeping it tight. How long have you been selling, or since the business formed?
Well, the business formed last October when we kind of got last August when we got the idea kind of up and running. And then we actually, in March of this year, we kind of were in conversation with PGA Memes, and they do a it's are you familiar with them?
Yes.
Yeah, so we kind of I DM'd them out of the blue and got to talking with all of them, and they invited us out to be a sponsor at one of their holes in Orlando. And we just took the opportunity to jump at it. So we had our website live on March 5th, and on March, I think, 6th or 7th, we were in front of about 150 golfers, and a lot of social media influencers, if you want to call them that. Just they're great people. They all tried out the game, and we had just an unbelievable response to it. And we started our pre-sale on that day. And but the most part, it was just getting it out there, getting people to know what it is. So that was March of this year. And then we went live at the end of May. And actually, it was at another PGA Memes challenge that he had out in New Jersey that we actually went live that day. So he's been a pretty big part of all of this. But he said, come out, meet a bunch of people. You can have the run of the place. You can, do whatever you want. And we kind of took him up on that, and we've become friends of a lot of people in that golf space. And it couldn't be a greater place to be. The people are so nice and kind, and they're so willing to help you out. And those little niche markets, no different than kind of the yard game market. It's it, we're all trying to get do something fun, grow the game of golf. And then I come from a background of playing yard games myself, so doing that at home and finding something else to do, especially during these like kind of weird times that we're in.
Yeah, that's awesome. Being in this space, I love to hear that people are collabing and like actually getting some things done, because that's cool for you to launch a product like that and just to get it in front of some eyeballs, just doing the groundwork.
Yeah, I mean, I love criticism and constructive criticism to make it better and things of that nature. But we were pretty pleased with the feedback that we got from that. And we went live, and we've been selling for about 3 months, and just got kind of notification recently we're going to be in a couple of major retailers here come the spring. So we're pretty excited.
Nice. I love that. Well, congratulations on all the early success. So I hope it keeps going.
Thanks, appreciate it, man. I would just kept putting nose to the grindstone and keep going, man.
Yes. I've seen the product. What version are you on from like the original concept?
I would say we're kind of on the fourth or fifth iteration of the game from when we started. When we kind of did it at the beginning, one of the crux of the problems is creating an 8-foot ring. I mean, that's really, I mean, if you think about it, like a large hula hoop is about 3 feet in diameter. That's a big hula hoop, right? Well, that's our smallest ring. And so our smallest ring is the size of the largest hula hoop that you could probably find in the marketplace. Well, we needed to create something that was bigger so we could play a full swing golf game, because that's what our intent of the game is. It's not really a chipping game. There's some really great chipping games out there, and those are awesome. But we wanted to be able to do what you do at a golf course, and that's swing, full swing. And in order to do that and make it fun with the plastic golf balls and kind of the kind of iteration that we wanted to get to, we needed to get that 8-foot ring. Well, at first we tried tent pole like materials. The
Oh,
problem is
yeah.
you couldn't really see it because it laid in the grass and it wasn't bright, and it was in the smallest one would break because it was too small. And then we tried PVC pieces, but that was going to be like almost 100 pieces, and we didn't want people to have to put it
Oh, my
together.
God.
And so we repurposed this kind of idea of this. It's called a fitness hoop or a weighted hula hoop, and it's popular in some other places in the world. And we actually had to make our own molds and things of that nature. So we're looking to even patent the bigger molds, that we did. So we had to open our own molds and specific to the size. So that blue ring that you see on our game is actually 8 feet in diameter. So, I mean, it's
Wow.
quite large.
That is awesome. And was it, how does it like pack back up?
So every piece, which we call sticks, they break down to about 18-inch pieces. So there's a little button and a guide. So you push the button and you slide it in, and that clicks it together. And then when you want to take it apart, we actually put our logo right over top of where the button would be, so you don't have to search around to find it. Just push right where our logo is, slides right off, and it all breaks down and fits into a bag that's about 2 feet by 1 feet.
Nice. I like that. Did you engineer that or come up with it yourself?
We kind of borrowed the idea from a different kind of version of product, like I was saying, the hoops that are from kind of other parts. So we used that idea, but we did it to our own extent. So it's, you know, every the piece is about 2.5, it was about 2 inches in diameter, the actual ring itself. So it's thick, and also it has like a PVC inside, but has an EVA, like a foam outside. So it floats in water. It's waterproof. So you can play it in pools at the lake. You can take it to the beach. So it's pretty durable product that we kind of built out so that it isn't something kind of a cheap piece of plastic that can break down in a little bit. We actually put a lot of thought and energy and effort into that ring and the quality of the product that we're putting out there.
Nice. It sounds like you did. I like that. I like hearing all the details about it. It makes me enjoy it when I actually go to play.
Yeah. No, and then what else that comes with it is also the mat that you see. And that's it's a rubberized bottom to that mat and foam layer, and then kind of the fake grass that's on top. You know, we went through a few different iterations of that, and the golf ball that we use for it. It's a plastic golf ball. We needed to get the right kind of weight to the ball. And we've gotten a lot of feedback that it acts more like a real golf ball. So if you can move it around, you can hit it left to right, or you can knock it down. But that was important to us too, because if we got it too heavy, the ball goes too far, and it's just too difficult to play. It's too light. I mean, the wind still takes it a little bit, but that's all part of it. You know, we'll go to these events, and I think my wife's the best caddy for everybody that comes up to our hole. She'll be saying that the wind is blowing, you know, you got to aim about 10, 15 feet right. And they don't believe her at first. They hit the ball, and they're like, oh, yep, you're right. That's exactly where you need to hit it. So
that's awesome. That is so cool. How far away, do you have to stand from like the rings and everything to get a full swing in?
So our recommendation is using a wedge, usually like an A wedge or a gap wedge of some sort. And you put the mat about 60 feet away or 20 yards away from the center of the ring. But again, it's golf. It's also, you know, the quality of the players and things of that nature. So if you've swung a club a bunch of times and, you know, you really want to be competitive, putting it that far away is great. But I have a 7-year-old daughter that plays the game, and, you know, to make it equal for her, the great equalizer is distance. So we just put her up about 30 feet. We play from about 60 feet, and she can play right along with us. Okay, and then the other part, it's just kind of like other games that you've played before, where it's just one motion. So we've had people that have never picked up a club before, and they swing awkwardly at first, just like everybody does when they first swing a golf club. But as soon as you get that one motion down, they're in and they're hooked. So it's great.
Nice, nice. I love that everybody can play. And you actually get a good like length to it, because, you know, some of those other games, you kind of have to be like really close to it. It doesn't really feel like you're playing golf. So it's nice that you're a little bit further away.
And like, we have a bunch of iterations of the game. Just like the other day, we had a bunch of people at the house who were playing it, where we took one of the middle size rings and we played it just like a real golf course, where we'd put it, you know, around the corner of the house, and we'd have to hit over there, and then we'd put it up on like a deck, and we have to hit it up there. So it was pretty fun.
Nice. Yeah, I was just about to ask, like, so just a little quick rundown, how exactly do you play the game?
The game, essentially, the way that it's designed, and it says it on the box and everything, is that you play one hole is 4 golf balls. You pick your color. You hit into the rings. We point them out at 1, 3, and 5 points, depending on the size of the ring. And you play 9 holes, and whoever has the most points after 9 holes wins. That's the main iteration of the game. But like, you know, your local Muni or St. Andrews or Riviera, every golf course is different. Everybody's backyard's different. So the cool thing is, we've seen a lot of different people come up with different ideas of how to play the game, whether they put it, you know, 3 rings at different like links, or they separate them out, or we play one version where we call it the water hazard, where we put the big blue one ring in front of the other 2 rings, and if you hit it into the blue ring, you actually lose points, just kind of like you would hit it over golf, like water at a golf course.
Nice. I love that about yard games. I'm sure you have to like hearing that feedback, or getting like people playing different ways and just like enjoying the product, because I think that's such like a cool idea with every yard game, how people just, you know, play differently.
I think it's just like, if you play can jam, there's so many like house rules for can jam or, things like that. And I'm all good with that. I think it's funny. Just like when Monopoly, when you're growing up, everybody had their house rules and you play it that way. I think that our game kind of leads itself to, hey, we play it this way at our house, whether it's far or short. And, we play it this way at our house. So I think that's the fun of yard games in general.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. So where are you getting the games like manufactured?
Everything is over in China at the moment. That's just really where my background comes from, is I source product in China, and I have done for the same company for the last 15 years.
Okay.
I'm still doing my day-to-day job, so trying to do this on the side. But I had a long commute before, COVID, and since we've been at home, I 3 hours of my day wasn't eaten up by sitting in the car, so had to do something. So I guess I decided to make a game.
Nice. Yes, I love that as well. I'm still at my day job, but I mean, I still have that brain where I'm just like, I'm gonna do something on the side as well. So kudos to you, man.
During this whole time of the game and meeting so many unique and great people during this whole process, everybody's kind of doing the same thing. They want to work for themselves. They have great ideas. You have a great podcast. Yard Games World, Matt up there, has a great book that he came out with that I've kind of talked to him over the time frame. But you just meet these awesome characters, even if it's on a phone call or emails or DMs. It's pretty fun ride so far.
Nice. Yeah. So I'm glad you're in the community. Like I said, like most of these games I come across, it's just across Instagram, and I'm glad everybody's able to connect. And I'm just stoked to hear this story because everything's unique. So, and everybody has their own challenges with just getting out a product. So hearing everybody's stories and everything like that, just, kind of builds it together with somebody else trying to make their own product.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree.
All right, guys, I hope you're enjoying the show so far. We'll be right back after this short break. All right, so welcome back. Let's get back into this chat. So speaking of challenges, what do you think has been the most like challenging part of setting up like the distribution and everything in the supply chain?
The funny thing is the supply chain wasn't the difficult part because I was kind of familiar with that from my day-to-day job. I think the most challenging part for me was probably the social media part because I didn't participate in much of it before. And so when we were kind of getting the word out of our product, I mean, we started with what, 5 people following, and we built it, we built a nice following, but also to distribute it amongst other people and have them kind of play it, and kind of that part of the quote unquote supply chain is just the consumer, and getting the consumer to understand what the product is has been the biggest challenge of ours. Everybody looks at our game and thinks it's 3 little hula hoops, but it really isn't, and so having that message to try to get that across to other people, that's been our biggest challenge at this point.
I hear you. I mean, social media these days, it's a double-edged sword. It's like so great, but then also it's like so many things to do on it, so many platforms to learn, so many little nuances that just jumping into it could be difficult.
Yeah, I still don't understand TikTok much, so.
I know, yeah. I like TikTok, I just don't feel like editing anything.
I mean, it's fun to make little videos with cool music behind it. That's the fun part about it, but yeah. It's crazy because we have a couple of videos up on TikTok that's really, from other influencers that have really taken off, 1.5 million views and stuff like that. So we love that, but I don't know what makes a popular video. So it's awesome.
Yeah. Oh man. I think you kind of touched on it earlier, but what are some common misconceptions that are probably going on with your game that people just see it for the first time and they're like, what is this? Or lumping it in with something else.
Well, like I said, it's really the size of it. I mean, when you look at it from afar, it doesn't look that big, but when you actually bring it up to somebody and you show them how big the rings are, that really is the overarching kind of way to make the game fun, is having that 8-foot ring and being able to, get points on a regular basis, because how some games are so hard that you just don't want to play them out for very long. And so And so that was really when we were doing it. That's right, why we made the ring so large. But like people just don't, sense of size is really difficult, you know, especially if it is sitting 60 feet away. So, you know, getting people to see it, and you know, we have a lot of comments of people saying like, oh, I can make this for, you know, $20 or $40. And you know, good on you. I hope you can. You know, we've just been able to manufacture something that you could put all together in one bag. You carry it with you with everything that goes in there, and you know, have the game available for you at any point.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Yeah, take that with like a grain of salt and just keep moving on because, I mean, I'm not a DIY person, so seeing something that's awesome, I'm like, hey, I'll buy it versus like we go to the hardware store and lumping this together and
Hey, I can
it,
show you how to make a big PVC pipe 8 foot ring. I've done it before myself. No,
Yeah, but
actually,
then yours like folds up and everything. My DIY one's not gonna fold up, right? It's yeah. So
No, it's, you know, it's funny that you say that. I do take it with a grain of salt. We've been at a lot of these events recently, whether it's the Memes Challenge or Colorado Golf Blog, or we'll do events at like Stone Brewery down in San Diego, and we have the game out, and when people see it, there's such a positive response to it. Bright colors, fun game, you know, on the size, and the fact that they get a full swing and golf club is like, it's different. And so they really do enjoy it. And that's really what kind of motivates me from a day-to-day perspective, is that there is that positive sense when I am in front of people. So that's been the best part about it.
yeah, enjoy that, man. Keep enjoying it. I get that same sensation when people are telling me like, because I run bocce leagues that they're having fun, and sometimes I'm not even thinking about it because I'm just in like the nitty gritty of like, is this working right? Is everybody having fun over here? Are we doing this? And then at the end of the day, like get that nice feedback. It is like really enjoy, like just enjoy that feeling.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you meant, like, I think I've always been designated, you know, if there's a game, a tournament, like a cornhole tournament during 4th of July, I'm the one that's dedicated to actually run the whole thing. And yeah, to your point, it's hard to enjoy it, that you're just playing a game, you know, as you're trying to, you know, maneuver everything, and there's money involved and all that stuff. So
Well, this is a good point to transition. Let's get into some random questions. Let people get to know you a little bit better.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So, first question. All right. If you're having a party, what's your go-to dish to make?
Well, I think I'm that quintessential. I love the barbecue, love to smoke certain different kinds of meats. I usually go to brisket is usually what I kind of make, and so brisket and yeah, that's what I typically make on a Sunday during the summer or during football season.
Nice. I actually have not made a brisket. I can make some good barbecue, but not just like not brisket style.
Yeah, we got a Traeger probably 5, 6 years ago, and that's just been my go-to. I do that, or I actually make my own homemade bacon. So those are the two things that I make.
Nice. Question number two. What's your favorite backyard game to play besides your game?
That's an easy one for me. Can jam, hands down, no question. We used to do every Labor Day weekend, on Sunday of Labor Day weekend, we used to have a can jam party at our house. We block off the street, have about 20 to 30 teams in it. So yeah, can jam easily. We'll stay up late night playing that game. It's always been our favorite one.
Nice. Yes, Can Jam has made its way to be a staple of game of yard games. Love it.
Yeah, if I get a chance to play, we play that, obviously outside of our game, but you know.
Question number three. Name a hobby you no longer do anymore.
Hobby. It's more like I grew up playing team sports and things of that nature. So I played a lot of soccer and baseball and basketball. And then I even did that in college in intramurals and stuff. I actually ran cross country and track in college and things like that. But when I graduated, I started doing teams of soccer and baseball. And I don't do that anymore. It's mainly just the individual sports like golf and running that I do at this point.
Okay, nice. Question number four. What's the most interesting place you've traveled?
Ooh, Fortunately, I've been around the world quite a bit with the job that I have. So I've actually been able to go to places like China and Indonesia and Vietnam. But I have to say the most interesting place would be Uganda. I had an opportunity to go there for a business trip and kind of opened my eyes to a very interesting place. And that's being kind of short answered.
Oh, that's very cool. That don't think I've heard anybody speak of Uganda that way.
It's an amazing place with people that have nothing but would give you the shirt off their back.
Nice. I was actually watching just some travel documentaries and stuff on like YouTube, and just hearing some people with like their comparisons to like, people that work over in Australia, they don't really care about their careers as much as people here in the US. And it was just interesting, like just that little snippet. I was like, you know what? Like, I need to travel around some more places to see how people are living these days.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've traveled a lot, fortunately, but that's my job with I'm sourcing. So like I said, I've sourced in all over the United, all over the world and things like that. So I've had the fortunate opportunity to do that, and I don't always go to the most glamorous of places. So I'm usually in factory cities and things of that nature.
All right. Last one. Who was your childhood hero?
That's another tough question, man. These are some tough questions you're throwing at me. I would have to say pretty much anybody that was in the Olympics. I was always just a huge Olympic fan, always have been, always will be, I think. I think the biggest childhood hero would probably be Carl Lewis. Just seeing him when I was younger, do the 100, 200 and long jump and all that stuff and winning everything. He's probably the youngest, like the earliest childhood that would definitely be that. Would probably be him.
Nice. Yeah, I played soccer, so I looked up to a lot of soccer players, but I understand having seen all the sports and yeah, they're just like bigger than life when you're younger.
I mean, I remember when I was younger, I was a baseball player, so I loved Ozzie Smith as a shortstop or people like that. But the Olympics have always been kind of something I've always just loved. I think I spend like the 3 weeks of Olympics is just like glued to the television.
Yeah, what'd you think of this past Olympics?
It was good. It was hard to watch just because it's more in the middle of the night, as most of the live stuff is happening. So I didn't catch as much as I would like to. But, since I ran cross country and track in college, I tried to catch a lot of track, but pretty much anything's on. I mean, my wife complains, I'll watch, fencing or judo or whatever, and she has no interest in it, but I'll watch almost anything.
Nice. All right, that was it. That was some good answers. I just have a few more questions for you.
Sure.
So just starting up the business and everything, you're bootstrapped. Do you get it going? You're in COVID time. Looking back, what would you say was like your best resource or something that you found that was very helpful that helped you start the business?
Yeah, I think like I said before is like, I'm pretty good with the criticism, constructive criticism. And so, I've learned that over time with my other jobs and stuff is like you want to take in a lot of people's input. So, it takes a village almost to create something. So when we were developing the game and all of that, we had the whole neighborhood give input. Everybody was out there playing. We had different versions of the game at first. We even had a cone, I think, involved at one point. But just having, taking everybody's input, whether it's a 7-year-old or your father-in-law, everybody, putting in their information and, taking that to heart and then really, regurgitating that and figuring out what is best for kind of everybody.
Nice. Yeah, just simple as feedback can be very, very helpful because you can just see one thing or have one thought in your mind, and then somebody, one simple comment can like make you think something else. And yeah, it's always good to get some good feedback.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you think you get the right answers, and then some 7-year-old comes up with a different idea, and it kind of changes your mind. This is it's all about the game. It's about having fun, and everybody has a different way, and you just never know what's going to make that change to really kind of make it, over the line to really have a great product.
True. Very, yeah. You gotta, can't take everything to heart, but then you also have to listen. All right. What are you currently excited about coming up?
I mean, we've really just launched. I mean, honestly, we've only been out since the end of May. I mean, what I'm excited about is just getting, hearing people play the game, seeing what they do with it. Our game is made to have a little bit of different kind of ingenuity and cleverness to make the game their own. But the biggest thing is we got a PO from a major retailer, got a couple of those coming up. So we're going to
Nice.
get some placements in the spring. And, we're so excited about next year. And, this year is kind of a learning time and cultivating those relationships that we've built with these different tournaments that we've been in. And, now just kind of going forward and, seeing what spring and next golf season brings. And we think the game's going to kind of grow along with all of that.
Nice, man. Congratulations on that, and hope you continue with all the success and keep riding the momentum, because it's hard to get the game off the ground and get it in people's hands, and for somebody to actually like it to put it in their store right away. So, doing a great job already. Last question for you, as a yard game entrepreneur, what is your mantra or quote or inspiration that you're living by that helps you get up, get out, and make you want to sell backyard golf every single day?
I don't know if it's necessarily a mantra or a quote. I just kind of, I've used this a term a lot. I've told a lot of people. I just realized nobody knows who we are. I mean, I kind of realize that every day is like, how do I get people to understand what we are, what we bring to the table, the uniqueness of our game. It's not a cross from one game to the next. There's some likeness for some things, but I just kind of wake up every day just realizing that how do I get people to know what the backyard golf game is and what we're doing and what we're trying to do and what we're trying to make this stuffy golf thing and make it not so stuffy and have some fun with it.
Nice. I love that. You are fitting into the yard game community perfectly. The attitude, the product, everything. So I'm stoked to finally get this in, and I hope to we partner and do some things in the future.
Yeah, 100%. We're having fun. We're having a good time, and we're like I said, we're excited about what's to come and what the future is, and just to teach people this game, and we're all in, and hopefully we can get a lot more people all in as well.
Well, that's all I have for you. And like I said, I'll be in touch, and I wish you all the success, and thanks for coming on.
Hey, I appreciate everything. Appreciate us, taking the time, have this conversation. A lot of fun. Hopefully we can touch base in a year or so and let you know where we're at.
Yes, of course. I'll talk to you later. Peace.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you. Thanks so much.
That was Kirk Larson, owner of the Backyard Golf Game. Oh man, you guys, if you love golf, you need to check this game out, because you've seen some other chipping games. This is a lot better. Getting it a full swing, you can change it around and actually play a regular golf game, have some fun with it. Oh, this is amazing. Check this game out. Links are in the show notes. Use promo code TOSTALK20 and get $20 off the game. You can't beat that. Once again, promo code TOSTALK20. Link in the show notes. And yeah, I will catch you guys in the next one. We'll play some more games. There's so many more games out there to play. Let's play them all. All right, guys. Peace.